Okay, let us begin. Tonight's conversation I'm calling But It's Not Questions of Maris Ayim, Pyre of Ice Cream, Tuna Melts, etc. So let's begin the conversation. If you remember last week, we began discussing some questions in Basar B'Chalav. Last week we spoke about cooking milk and meat together. And we're largely following the order of Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch begins in Siman Pei Zayin with the three prohibitions involved in milk and meat: the prohibition of eating, the prohibition of deriving benefit from, and the prohibition of cooking. And then Shulchan Aruch tells us that the prohibition of milk and meat, and let's begin from the top: Ein hu noheg ela bebasar behema tahora, bechalav behema tahora. In other words, the prohibition only applies when I have milk of a kosher animal with the meat of a kosher animal. Avobasa tahora b'cholav tameya, avobasa tameya b'cholav tahora, mutarim b'bisholo b'hana'a. I'm allowed to cook and derive benefit from a mixture of meat from a non-kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal, or vice versa, if I'm allowed to derive benefit in that situation. I'm allowed to cook and derive benefit. So technically, that means that I can take dog meat, let's say, and cook it with regular milk, and that's going to be fine. Right? There's no, you can't eat it. It's mutter bebishul b'hanah. Good. Right? I could cook it. I could get benefit from it. You can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because you can't eat a dog. Right? Well, because it's non-kosher. Right? That's the basic issue. What? So you're allowed to sell it. You're allowed to cook it and get benefit from it. So I could sell it to someone. I could have the money. That's not a problem whatsoever.
What does it do to your pot?
What?
What does it do to your pot?
So my pot is now non-kosher, and I have to ask some local Orthodox rabbi how to make my pot kosher again. Fine. Ubasa chayev ha'of, afilo b'cholav tahora, mutar b'bisholo b'hana'a, meat of a chaya. A chaya is a non-domesticated wild animal. So meat of a chaya and a oaf and poultry is permitted to cook. Right? Last week we saw the Ramah had a comment that's permitted in Hana'a, since it's only forbidden rabbinically, so you're allowed to derive benefit from. Here Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to cook chicken with milk. Right, so if you go to schools of culinary arts, so just say, don't give me meat to work on, give me chicken, and it's not a problem whatsoever. Right, af bachilo eno aswa elo midrabanan, eating chicken with milk is only forbidden rabbinically. So far, so good. Aval, dagim v'chagavim, ein bahem isur afilo midrabanan. Fish and grasshoppers, there's no prohibition of milk and meat whatsoever. So I can cook my fish with milk, and that's, right, fish isn't meat, right? I think people know that, right?
Fine.
What?
Even eating it.
Even eating it. You're allowed to eat fish that is cooked with milk. No? And you're allowed to eat grasshoppers that are cooked with milk. The grasshopper issue I've never had a question of. People in the community apparently don't like grasshoppers. In some Taimani communities, in some Yemenite communities, they still have a tradition of eating grasshoppers. Ashkenazim have lost this tradition. The OU sponsored what they called the Masorah meal a few months ago, so they served all of these questionable foods. One of them was they served grasshoppers at the meal. They had some Yemenite who has a tradition which species of grasshoppers are kosher, and the Yemenite said, we are allowed to trust Yemenites. So the Yemenite said, I know that that's a kosher grasshopper, and then they ate it. Fine. They ate it. Apparently it's very tasty. I wouldn't go for it myself. Fine. So there is no prohibition at all, even rabbinically, on fish with milk. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, any of you come from Lubavitch backgrounds besides me? I'm the only one? So I remember as a kid, I come from a Lubavitch background on my father's side, kind of, sort of, a little bit. My mother, didn't know what she was getting into. So one time we had a local rabbi came over. He happened to have been a Lubavitcher rabbi, and my mother made him dinner. And my mother made him a meal. She used to make this type of fish with some butter coating on top of the fish, and she serves it to this rabbi, and he's sitting over there and he's not eating anything. And my mother is like, what's going on? Like, how come you're not eating the food? So the story is like this. The story is like this. There is a tradition out there that does not make it to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that fish with milk, there is no problem whatsoever. We're skipping two lines to the Shach. The Shach quotes, Kasav HaLavosh, Ayin Tes Zayin is Ater Zahav, that's HaLavosh, V'zeh LoShono. This is what he writes, Mikol Makom Ein Lechol Dagim B'Chalav Mipnei HaSakana Kemoshin Espa'ir Narachayin Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel. Right? It's dangerous to have fish with milk. It's dangerous. Right? Ube Emes, and the Shas says that really he's following a tradition in the Beis Yosef, who says that fish and milk is dangerous, but Avahu Tos, it's a mistake. Kilo Nizkar Sham Ella the Dagim in Basar Aser Mishum Sakanova Bachalov Shamanu. In other words, really there is a tradition from the Gemara that fish with meat is dangerous. The Gemara says you get sara'as if you have fish. Did anyone ever try this? Apparently, right? No?
Fish with
meat, right? Why is it that people have separate fish forks? You ever bothered by that, Kasha? Right? You know, in like some families, you have like the gefilte fish, and when you have gefilte fish, and then you have, I don't know, what do you eat after gefilte fish? I had a Shabbos lunch. Cold cuts, right? So you have two forks at the, right? You have the fish fork, right? My grandmother actually was very firm. She used to have a fish pot separate from other sorts of pots that we'll have to discuss. But there is a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav that says that fish and meat, if you eat them, if you cook them together and then eat them, will give you tzara'as. The Beis Yosef over here quotes that fish and milk is also dangerous. It will also lead to tzara'as. Now, does anyone here have this tradition not to have fish and milk? Sfaradim think it is really problematic. The Beis Yosef quotes it. Sfaradi tradition is do not have fish and milk. There is a whole discussion in terms of this issue. There's a long tshuva in Chacham Avadi Yosef in Chelok Vav Yichaved Das about this. Generally, Sfaradim are strict, and even though Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to have fish and milk, Sfaradim do not have fish and milk, right? Just like they don't have fish and meat. They assume that they are both considered dangerous. For Ashkenazim, we are not so into this, no? We're not into this, even when it comes to fish and meat. It says in Shulchan Aruch, don't have fish and meat together, because, here, I'll quote it, it's a nexorus in Simen Kuf Tezayin. Tzarech lizayir shal lechol basar v'dag b'yachah, m'nei shekashal et sarat, it will give you tzaras. Has anyone here ever gotten tzaras for eating fish and meat? No? No, good, right? So, the tzaras, we don't know exactly what tzaras is, but most of us don't get it when we eat fish and meat together. The Magen Avraham quotes, when it comes to fish and meat, remember, we're talking about fish and meat. Fish and milk is an extension of fish and meat, and fish and milk might be a mistake. That's what the Shach says, fish and milk is a mistake together. But when it comes to fish and meat, Shulchan Aruch says, don't eat them together. That's why people have their separate fish forks. Says the Magen Avraham, Ve'efshar de'bizman hazeh ein sakana kol kach, de'chazin kama dvarim hamuzkarim b'gemara shehim sakana l'ruach ra, shar dvarim ve'idna eino mazik de'nishtanu hatva'iyos. Right? That's a mouthful. The Magen Avraham is saying that nature has changed. It is no longer dangerous to have fish together with meat. Therefore, generally speaking, I think people try to be strict about fish and meat together. That's why the practice was to have separate fish forks, not to eat the meat with the same fork they ate the fish, because maybe fish residue will be on the fork still. If you'd rinse off the fork in between, it would be perfectly fine. But the tradition was that we were strict against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that it's possible that the prohibition no longer applies. We don't follow on the Magen Avraham. We do follow the Magen Avraham to a limited extent, and allow me to explain. The OU for years did not have OU fish designation, no? Now if you buy, how do you pronounce it, Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire.
Right? So if you buy it, it will say OU fish. So what's the pshat in this? How come fish was just invented? So the story is that it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's dangerous. We don't really understand why it's dangerous, but okay, it says it in Shulchan Aruch, so we try to keep what it says. The Taz says that when it comes to dangerous items, it's never going to be bottle. In other words, usually if I have a little bit of treif in food, 1/60th gets rid of it. But if I have poison in food, even if I have 60 times more non-poison than poison, right, chamira sakanta meisura, and we assume that it's forbidden. So the OU for years was combining the OU for years, that's the Taz. The Shach says it's going to be bottle with 60. If I have a little bit of fish in a sauce, it's going to be nullified 1/60th, no? That's what the Shach says. For years, the OU relied on the combination of the Shach and the Magen Avraham, and they would give hashgacha on, however we pronounce the Worcestershire sauce, they give hashgacha on it because there's a teeny drop of fish inside. That amount of fish in the sauce is less than 1/60th. Even if you put it on meat, right, you could say, A, maybe it's nullified in 60, B, maybe the Magen Avraham is right and there's no longer a prohibition. That was traditionally the OU practice. Then there's a Rabbi Hopfer in Baltimore who pointed out to Rabbi Schechter, he said that things are only nullified if they don't have a taste. And apparently in the Worcestershire sauce, if you ever tasted it straight, you would taste the fish, even though there's less than the 60th. And therefore, it won't be nullified, and you don't have the shach to rely on. If I don't have the shach to rely on, so the OU started giving an OU fish designation. But it would seem that if I am then using that Worcestershire sauce in something, and the final product, you'll never taste the fishiness, so it should definitely be okay. Now, you following? Because the issue, the only reason why the OU labeled it OU fish is because if I would taste the Worcestershire sauce straight, I would notice the taste of fish. But, right, certainly once I put it into my salad, my wife makes, I hope I'm not like scandalizing anyone, my wife makes a type of chicken Caesar salad that uses Worcestershire sauce. It's treif, no, it's fish and meat together. The answer is, I'm okay with this, because it's less than 1/60th altogether, right? So it's really not a problem. We have the Magen Avraham for sure, that perhaps today it's not a problem. Even according to the Magen Avraham, I have the shach that once it's nullified in 60, it's not a problem. I think that's okay. So that's what it comes to fish and meat. Fish and milk is even less of an issue. Fish and milk is probably a mistake. But even so, Sfaradim and Lubavitchers, for some reason, try to be strict not to have fish together with milk because of this line in the Beis Yosef. There's a whole discussion here in the Piskei Tshuva, the bottom source, that maybe fish with milk is a problem, but fish with butter is not a problem. Generally speaking, people eat tuna melts, no?
What's a tuna melt?
A tuna melt is that you have cheese on top of tuna, and you melt it, right? If you eat a tuna melt, that means that you're assuming it's not dangerous and you won't die from this process. That's what. Now, it happens that the Rambam never quotes this also. This whole issue of fish with meat is never found in the Rambam, probably because either some say, well, the Rambam was a doctor and he knew that fish and meat won't hurt you, or alternatively, I have another approach why, but not for now. Frida.
I've seen dozens of people at Sukkahs. They won't put fish and meat on the same plate. They make sure to have the fish first, then put the plate away, and then go get something.
Right, so that's based on the same idea, that the fish and the meat were worried will... The Gemara says it will potentially can lead to tzara'as. Now, you're probably scratching your head and saying, what type of tzara'as is there? Like, is there any real medical basis behind this? So there's an article by Fred Rausner in Tradition Volume 35, where he tries to put something together, some is there any medical basis for danger with fish and meat? So he wants to say at first that maybe the medical basis is that because fish have bones and meat doesn't have bones, the medical issue is that you might swallow a bone thinking that it's meat and kill yourself. Well, that's not what the Gemara sounds like. The Gemara says that it will bring tsaras, no? Tsaras doesn't sound like a bone getting lodged in your throat. So then some people suggest that there's some issue in terms of the type of amino acids that they have. There's really no medical basis that we know for it. But even so, many people say it is something that's mentioned in the Gemara. It's something that's mentioned in the Gemara, so we should be strict. Others contend, they say, no, maybe when the Gemara says you shouldn't have fish with meat, the Gemara is not talking about all fish. It's talking about one specific type of fish called a binisa. We're not exactly sure what this fish is. Maybe that fish is a problem. That's what the Chassam Sofer suggests. But again, practice, I think, is that people are still strict on the fish and meat issue, right?
The, eat something in between
of a, yeah,
yeah, so people will eat, will have schnapps in between. You take it, you take the carrot on top of the gefilte fish. Maybe. People try to eat something in between. There was a practice in Shulchan Aruch of washing your hands in between. Almost no one does this anymore. The Rambam already did away with that practice of washing hands in between. There's a whole literature about this. It's so hard to understand because practically speaking, it doesn't seem to create any sort of danger. Yeah, Sarah. Apparently, for this purpose, we treat chicken like meat. For the fish issue, right? For a real basar b'chalav, chicken is only midrabanan. For the danger issues, people say that chicken counts also. I don't know. Again, I could scratch my head for an hour. I don't fully understand this. We're doing the best we can. Let's go on. First source again on the top of the first page, Haga, the Rama. V'nahagu la'asos cholav mishkedim. The practice is that you make milk out of shkedim, are almonds. U'meinichim ba basar of, and you put chicken in almond milk. Ha'o ve'eino rak midrabanan. Remember, chicken with milk itself is only rabbinically forbidden. So therefore, apparently, almond milk with chicken is not going to be a problem, because since the whole prohibition of chicken with milk is rabbinic, the maris ayin, right? Almond milk is maris ayin. It looks like regular milk. Remember Gilligan, right? So Gilligan used to drink coconut milk all the time. Apparently it looked like real milk, oh, right? Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? So that's, so almond milk looks like regular milk. You should not have almond milk with regular meat, apparently, right? Avol baser behema yesh laniach etzal hecholav shkedim mishum maris ayin kamoshin espa'er le'el, etc. When it comes to baser behema, to regular meat, then I should not have my almond milk with regular meat. Instead, I should put little pieces of almonds into my almond milk, and that will serve as a hecker, that will serve as a reminder. I'll know that this is not regular milk, this is now almond milk. Okay? So that's what the Rambam says. So let's try to understand the Rambam. The Rambam says that I'm only nervous about maris ayin, right, on a Torah prohibition. If I have regular meat together with almond milk, then there's a maris ayin issue, and then I need to put my almonds into my almond milk to solve my maris ayin issue. But, what?
Is it into the almond milk or near the almond milk?
So, most assume that it means into the almond milk. Shulchan Aruch over here says, the Ramah says, Yesh l'haniach etzel hecholav shkedem. It sounds like it's next to it. But he sends you to a case in Simen Samach Vav, in the case of Dam. Dam, okay, this is going to be slightly grotesque, so please, let's just go through it. It's forbidden to drink blood in Halacha. Fish blood is technically permitted, it's not blood. If you want to drink fish blood, you should put fish scales into your fish blood and then drink it. Right? That is obvious. So some say that since we are comparing the fish blood to the almond milk, so you should put the almond scale, you should put, not the almond scales, almonds don't have scales, you should put the almonds into the almond milk, just like you put the fish scale. What about soy milk? What about power of ice cream? What about all of these issues? So this is really what we have to discuss, right? But the basic issue so far is that according to the Ramah, there's no maris ayin on rabbinic prohibition. So if it's with chicken, it's not a problem. If it's meat, it is a problem. And some add that according to the Ramah, it's only a problem with meat if I'm cooking the meat with the almonds. If I just have a dish where I mix almond milk with meat, that's not a problem. It's only a problem if you cook it, because then it's marisayin. It looks like I'm doing a Torah prohibition. And we solve that problem with the almonds. You need almonds next to the almond milk. Yeah?
Is it still an issue now because so many people use like soy milk?
So that's really where we're heading. So today there are 9 million people out there who have a pair of desserts. Right? So, or you have coffee after a meal with non-dairy creamer. No? So is this a maris ayin issue? So that is really what we are going to try to discuss. So let's just go through the sources relatively quickly. The Shach. Yeah. So if I have it for coffee, I'm not cooking it with the meat, and therefore, it's only rabbinic, right? Mm. Right. It's like milk after meat, which is a rabbinic prohibition. And according to the Ramah, it's not a problem. So far, so good. But the Shach, by the way, if you remember, is my favorite person ever. So the Shach, 1621 to 1662, he's very cool. So the Shach says that... he argues on the Ramah. The Ramah says that there is no problem with maris ayin on derabbanon's. This long shach in sifkat and vav, the first thing on the second side of the page, the shach completely disagrees. Here, let me just give you a place. So the Shach here, let's pick up in the Shach, it's six lines before the end of this Shach. He says, V'chein hiskimu ha'acharon, he quotes that the Maharshal, and the Maharshal was a cousin of the Ramah, the Maharshal disagrees with the Ramah, and he assumes that there's a problem, Maris Ayin, even on rabbinic prohibitions. And then the Shach says, V'chein nir lafi an istaiti, that's what appears to me as well. Da'afilu b'midi d'rabbanon chashin l'maris ayin b'kama duchti. There are many places in the Gemara that were concerned about Maris Ayin on rabbinic prohibitions. U'mehem b'shas imperek b'me behema, where the Gemara says, V'lo b'zug. Afapishu pakuk. Right? The case over there is in Masechet Shabbos that there's a whole parak about Bameh Behema Yotzeis, Bameh Behema Ena Yotzeis on Shabbos. That animals on Shabbos should not go out wearing certain things. One thing an animal should not wear on Shabbos when it goes out is a bell, because apparently people will think if the animal's wearing a bell that you're selling the animal. And they're going to say, oh, you're selling the animal. And that it's forbidden to sell animals on Shabbos. So the Shach begins to jump up and down. He says, one second, selling animals on Shabbos is only rabbinically forbidden, no? Why can't I sell items on Shabbos? Maybe if I sell things, I might come to right, no? It's not a Torah prohibition. Nowhere does it say in the 39 categories of Malach on Shabbos that I'm not allowed to sell anything. It's only forbidden rabbinically. If it's only forbidden rabbinically, how come I can't have my animal wearing the bell on Shabbos? Says the Shach, I see from there that there is maris ayin even on drabonons, and that's why the Shach argues on the Ramah. So according to the Shach, it's more strict. The Shach says even if it's a rabbinic prohibition, no, we still have to be nervous about the maris ayins. And that, therefore, according to the Shach, maybe my coffee with creamer at the end of the meal or my pair of ice cream would be problematic, no? According to the Ramah, it's okay because it's rabbinic. We're not cooking it together. Right? Milk after meat is only forbidden rabbinically. But according to the Shach, maybe there's going to be a problem. Now, this issue, by the way, touches on a larger question, which is, why is Maris Ayin forbidden? Maris Ayin means I shouldn't do things that appear wrong. So why not? Right? What do I care what you think? No? Isn't that like what Ben Gurion used to say? That you should only worry about what they do, not what Goyim think about us? Is that like the famous line? Right? So what do I care what people think? What's the big deal? Like, why is Maris Ayin the problem? So there are two ways of understanding Maris Ayin. One way of understanding Maris Ayin is that I don't own everything. You see, God gives me certain things, but there are other things that I don't have rights on. I'm not allowed to injure my body, no? My body is technically not mine. Right? I'm not allowed to cut off my finger. That's forbidden. Also, some assume that Maris Ayin is the same idea, that I have no rights to destroy my own reputation. V'yisem nekim Hashem Yisrael means that I'm supposed to try to be clear in the eyes of both God and man, and therefore I should not damage my own reputation. My reputation is, right? It's not mine. It's not mine. That's one approach. The other approach to Maris Ayin is interesting, and Rashi might say there's a contradiction in Rashi's. Rashi, the meaning of Krisus, says it the second way. The other approach to Maris Ayin is that Maris Ayin is a subset of the prohibition of Lifnei Iver. Right? Meaning to say, if you see me walk into McDonald's, what are you going to say? You're going to say, oh, Rabbi Schwartz has a really big kula. Right? So, right? And then you might come to go to McDonald's also. In other words, the second way of understanding Maris Ayin is that Maris Ayin is somehow related to Lifnei Iver, and you might come to do something wrong because I'm doing something that appears wrong. Now, this might be relevant for the dispute between... The way Rav Soloveitchik used to say it is that this might be the basis of the dispute between the Ramah and the Shach. Remember, according to the Ramah, there's no Maris Ayin on rabbinic prohibitions. That might be because the Shach is saying that... Excuse me. According to the Ramah, there's no Maris Ayin on rabbinic prohibitions. Why not? Because maybe the Ramah understands that Maris Ayin is about protecting my own reputation. That means that the Torah doesn't give certain things to me, but things that are only rabbinic, then I am allowed to sully my reputation. That's the way the Rav Soloveitchik said it. However, if Maris Ayin is a subset of Lifnei Iver, that I shouldn't cause you to do an Aveira, so I'm not allowed to cause you even to do a rabbinic prohibition. No? That's the way the Rav used to say it. Okay, I mean, but that's just to try to conceptualize this. Practically speaking, we follow the Shach. No? So, what basis do we have to permit the coffee creamer and the pair of ice cream at the end of the meal? Yeah, Sarah?
And the example I'm remembering is, who's seeing the
envelope? Okay, so who's seeing it? So you're asking a good question. So the answer could be nobody. But the Gemara has a line like this. The Gemara says, Kol davar she'asru chachamim mishum maris ayin, afilu b'chadri chadarim asur. Whenever there's a prohibition of Maris Ayin, you can't even do it alone in your own home when no one sees. Afir b'chadri chadarim. Right? So even though no one is seeing, it still is a prohibition. That's what the Gemara says. But, take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva here, letter Yud. He quotes the Maharshal, etc. Then he writes, Ayin ben Nunzad, the Nunzad is Nachlas Tzvi. The Nachlas Tzvi is a longer work that the author of the Pisrei Tshuva wrote. Pisrei Tshuva is written by two brothers named Eisenstadt. And they have a longer work called Nachlas Tzvi. Ayin Nachlas Tzvi shekasavdi demikom makom, ein lesser lahaniach basar of, becholav shkedim, belishi aniach shkedim etzlo, ela imhu bifnei haroim, kimo besaudos gedolos, de ikar maris ayin gomor. Avo bebeso mutter. Right? In other words, Sarah, this is sort of what you were saying, no? The Nachlas Tzvi is saying something that seems to be against the Gemara. The Nachlas Tzvi is saying that the only time we assume that there is Maris Ayin on rabbinic prohibitions is if it is a large meal and there are other people around. Now, this is actually very relevant. You see, in a restaurant, it would seem that you should not have the non-dairy creamer in a metal jar. At home, I could have my non-dairy creamer in the metal jar and serve it after my meat meal, because that's not Bifnei Haroim. There's not a lot of people there. But at a large meal, so I should keep my non-dairy creamer in the container, no? That would be ideal. I keep it in the container. That's better than having almonds there, right? Rabbi Schechter told me that Rabbi Weiss, who should live long, he must be 98 years old. He's been teaching Yoredeya and Yeshiva now for like, he started teaching Yoredeya and Yeshiva. He was appointed by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik to review his shiur. He's still teaching. He doesn't come to the Yeshiva anymore. He started teaching in the 20s, I think.
Wow.
My favorite YU story ever was right after Richard Joel became president, so Rabbi Weiss was teaching in one of the rooms, and some professor knocked on the door and says, excuse me, you know, I was assigned to this room. So Rabbi Weiss says, well, you know, the president told me to teach. So they're like, okay, which president? You know, like Lamb or Joel, because like new president. He's like, oh, Dr. Revel. Ooh.
He was 98,
huh?
He was 98, he was born in 1914.
He started reviewing Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir at some point, and he's been there forever since. I don't. Yeah. Right, so fake pepperoni on the pizza, or it's not crab, it's not shrimp, it's not whatever. Those are actually more serious Maris Ayin issues, because it looks like a real d'oraisa. It looks like I'm eating, right, pepperoni with cheese would be a d'oraisa, no? As opposed to the non-dairy creamer after the fleishik meal, that's only a rabbinic prohibition.
In
the worst case scenario. But the Nachlas Tzvi, one second, is saying that in public meals, you should be more strict. And therefore, by a public meal, he says, when it's Maris Ayin Gomor, so then you should have almonds in your almond milk. And for us, having the container that says Rich's Whip is just as good as almonds in the almond milk. That's probably, yeah.
How are you not preventing someone from doing a rabbinic prohibition by just using the container?
So if I use the container, so people see that it's parav milk,
right, but
so they're not going to do the rabbinic prohibition of having regular milk, because assuming that people have a certain ability to discern.
Right,
we trust people a little bit.
But you said we hold by the shach, which is...
Generally, we hold by the shach, but apparently what the Nachlas Tzvi is saying is that we are only worried about Maris Ayin and rabbinic prohibitions if it's super-duper Maris Ayin, if there's a lot of people around. If there's not a lot of people around, so then practically we don't hold by the shach.
So then how would it work at a regular meal?
At a regular meal, if there's not a lot of people around, if it's a small gathering, so then we're okay with Maris Ayin under Rabbanans. Right? Only at a very large meal do we assume that there's a problem of Maris Ayin under Rabbanans. Yeah, Sarah.
Is this only a problem if it's like discernible? I mean, if you cook the chicken in the almond milk, but then you just serve it as chicken with sauce.
Right. So the poskim say like this. I don't know if we'll have time to get into this. There's a few kulas by Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is prohibitions of based on Maris Ayin are certainly only forbidden if they are intact. Once they are mixed in, it will be batal. No matter what. You don't need 60, you don't need any real measurement, right? It's going to automatically be batal. The case in Shulchan Aruch is talking about actually breast milk. People are nervous about this when they have babies, no? So the bottles for breast milk is not halachic milk, right? It's parav, technically, but there's a Maris Ayin issue. So you shouldn't take it and mix it with your meat things, but if it, you know, you can wash it off technically in the meat sink, it's not going to be a problem. It'll be, right? You don't need a shear. It's going to be butter automatically. Right? We permit maris ayin if someone is sick. We permit you having a prohibition that's only based on maris ayin if you're not well. So now, so what? One approach is that maris ayin is the maris ayin on rabbinic prohibitions is only if it's a very large meal. But that would not help us for parav ice cream after our Shabbos lunch. No? Parav ice cream after our Shabbos lunch would be a problem. Well, so if you have the container, fine. Or I'm talking about after, let's say, a large Shabbos lunch in the shul. You have a lot of people around, right? It's a big public group, so you would need the container. People don't want to serve ice cream in the container.
By now, everybody knows.
So by now, everybody knows. So the question is does that really help? Yeah, always. Right, so
margarine.
Right, margarine. Margarine is a good one. So Chacham Avadi Yosef here in this tshuva. So let's just read the question and then we'll talk about it. The question is: Ha'im mutar l'shtos chalav synteti asoy mitzmachim? Are you allowed to drink synthetic milk that's made from vegetables like soy milk? Miyad la'acha arucha b'sarit, right after a fleishik meal. O yesh lesa mishum maris ayin pen yakshedu haroim sheshosa cholav mamish achari machalei basar. Because people might think that you're drinking real milk after a fleishik meal. So Chacham Avadia is meikel. So he says like this. He says he thinks that the only issue is something like you are saying, and some people suggested this beforehand, things that people don't know about. But chalav shkeidim shu matzoi v'regin l'vashlom basar v'hu mut'am ma'od ein l'chushbo mishum maris ayin klal v'od shachal shkeidim lo nikra chalav elame peros, etc. Right? In other words, basically he's calling for b'yonis and aibshitz that there's maris ayin is subjective. If everyone knows in your community that people have parav ice cream, so there's no issue of maris ayin at the end of the meal, because everyone knows that there could be parav ice cream. And then he quotes a Russian Hilchos, the Rush at the end of Nida, in the context of shatnez. If you have a garment that everybody knows in your community, it looks like wool, but it's not really wool, and everybody knows that that's what you have, so there's no maris ayin. That's what he quotes. Now, is this true, though? Chacham Avadia is paskening this way. He's saying that since everybody knows that you have par of ice cream today, so therefore there's really no problem of maris ayin on the par of ice cream, on the non-dairy creamers. So, Reb Feivel Cohen is a posik in Brooklyn. He wrote this book, Badei HaShulchan. He argues that you can't say this. And his rationale is, let's go slowly. The classic case of maris ayin is almond milk. That means, right, here, the way the Ramah says it, nahagu la'asos cholav mishkedim. The practice was in their communities that they made almond milk. That would be the same as like the practice in our community that we have soy milk, no? So everyone knew it. And even so, the Ramah says, I need to have almonds, right, inside my almond milk, and next to my almond milk, I need almonds there, right? If it's a possible d'oraisa situation. So just because something is widespread, Reb Feivel Cohen contends, does not mean that it's going to be permitted. So he wants to argue on this idea of Chacham Avadi Yosef. So I was asking Rabbi Schechter this afternoon, I was saying, practically speaking, the argument doesn't seem so bad to me. How do I get out of this? So he's not sure the answer, but what I could say is that everyone is makel on this. Right? Everyone has power of ice cream after a meal, whether it's a large meal or a small meal. Right? Everyone has it. Some say that maybe it's permitted for a different reason. I'll tell you like this. Next week we'll probably discuss waiting after meat before milk. Now technically, how long do you have to wait? So, half an hour, 1 hour, Tosfos quotes, it just has to be in a different meal, right? Some wait 6 hours, in this community some people wait 3 hours. We'll discuss all this next week. We'll discuss it next week, into the sixth hour maybe. Right, the Minigan MTA used to be that you wait into the first hour, right? That was... fine. Shouldn't have said that.
Soft cheese.
Right. We'll talk about all the, that's between, that's weighing between cheese and meat, between meat and cheese. So everyone holds that there's some amount of time that you wait, but how much time is it? Not exactly clear. The Gemara says the su'uda achrita, the next meal is okay. So some suggest that maybe we are fulfilling the technical din of the Gemara if you get rid of all the meat at the end of the meal. Su'uda achrita doesn't mean that you have to bench, you have to make a brach achrona. But if all the meat is removed and then you have your dessert, then for sure there's no problem with the power of ice cream. Because that's considered like a different meal. And according to the strict halacha, you're allowed to have milk after meat, right? Once it's in a different meal. So it's like a different meal once I remove all the meat from my table.
But different peoples have different meal times.
My meal is, right? My fleishik meal is over. And now I'm having my, looks like, right? My looks like ice cream. So that would be okay, or the coffee at the end of the meal. But if the meat is still on the table, so then you have to say something along the lines of what Chacham Ovadia is saying. If the milk is, again, either you say that will hold like the Rambam, right? If it's a private meal, you could do that. If it's a large meal, so you can't really say that you hold like the Rambam, so then by a large meal, because by large meals we hold like the Shach. So then, by a large meal, you'd have to say the svara that Chacham Ovadia says, that everybody knows that it's power of ice cream, it's not regular ice cream. And that's the... So I would recommend, like at large meals, it's not so difficult. Instead of putting the non-dairy creamer in a small metal container, if you just leave the container there, I think you solve lots of problems. But again, there are many other ways around it. Yeah?
Is there any suggestion that perhaps announcing what it is any sort of help? You can tell the table...
Right, so that's... It's a good question. So apparently, again, Reb Vaival Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan also discusses that. He says the only thing that we see helps is a simen, which is like the almonds next to are in the almond milk. He questions that maybe even writing down in letters, this is power of milk, won't help. Right? When I read that, I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me. It just doesn't sit
but
well.
But the container basically is...
The container is
like writing on it.
I think the container is like writing on it, but might be a little bit better because it's a natural or
just
whatever.
Just for the record, Miss Manners says that's really tacky.
Okay.
So you're supposed to put the ketchup in little balls. You're not supposed to put.
Been noted. I yell it. So that's
it.
So again, that could go two ways. That could also work against us because it's under the OU, and that means the OU obviously has some big kula to have milk after a fleishik meal. No? Right, so that might not help us. If anything, things that are in public we treat more severely with Maris Ayin. Again, the OU's policy is that in restaurant settings they want some sort of marker that it is power of milk at the end of the meal. Again, if the coffee is only brought after the waiter clears away all the meat, so that would also solve the problem. Yeah. Ophira.
If you put like non-dairy creamer in like
that's perfectly fine. Here, look at the last case in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Dalet. It says, "Asur levashel b'chol avisha." You can't cook with mother's milk. May maris ayin v'nachal until chatavshah. If it falls into food, batil ve'in sar shiur. It's nullified automatically. Right? All of these maris ayin issues are automatically nullified. No.
Sounds like with the oven. It sounds like you. Sounds what? Like the oven.
If it fell in, it's. Again, is there a problem of Eim Mevat on Israel HaChatzchila to put... I think generally we assume that's not going to be a problem. We don't assume there's Eim Mevat on Israel HaChatzchila on Maris Ayin issues.
But
so,
like,
yeah.
Like, let's say you want to say that whatever's Aser for Maris Ayin is Aser even in Chadrei Chadarim.
Right.
So that, like, Kogo almost is kind of like... It's like in secret almost.
But, it's only Maris Ayin if people look at it and they say, oh, there's some milk in here. But it, once people look at the kugel, they you can't. There's no way of knowing because it's all. It's one of the ingredients in the whole recipe, so therefore it should be fine.
No, I don't even know.
Right. Now let's just go down the line with yeah. Hi. And please remind me your name. Okay.
So back to the pepperoni thing. So that you think it really would be problematic?
That's what it seems to me. Yeah, you said that the
COR for many years in Toronto.
Did they change their mind, or it's still
you
like
know,
that?
I think King David's has like something that looks, but it doesn't look like.
So my guess is that if they changed, it's probably because they felt that it didn't really look like meat.
There's a big sign, you know, I think.
Well, if
it's
not
mainstream in Toronto, like you
what?
Can't.
In your own home, could you make little pepperoni-looking things and put on, you think would be problematic to make little pepperonis and put on your pizza?
Fake pepperoni.
It would seem to me that. Because that's a possible de oraisa, no? It looks like meat being cooked with the cheese. So I'd be inclined to be strict on that, yeah. I don't understand. Like, the it's not crab and the it's not shrimp or whatever. I think the only heter for those is that it really doesn't look like crab and shrimp. If it would look like crab and shrimp, I think it really would be a problem. Orly, you had a question?
Yeah. In terms of Marifying about the difference here about being a public, what determines public?
Yeah, so that is not clear. It's not clear. In other words, the average meal in the Heights when there are 43 people sitting around, is that public or private? Right?
Public.
That's a... It's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know a real answer to it. It's a good question. I tried to look around today. I didn't see anything. If I find more information, I'll send it to you. Yeah.
No, they don't.
Again, if it's noticeable that it's not meat, if it doesn't really come across like meat, then it's okay. I'm not familiar with the exact product that you're describing, so I can't comment on it.
Any kind of veggie burger.
Any kind of veggie burger. No, but veggie burgers don't look like hamburgers. Hamburgers.
No, they don't.
They look like a real hamburger.
But if you look at
the Morningstar is the really good fake meat.
Right, no, so that's what we're talking about, like the fake bacon, the fake... So I think the heter for those things is that it doesn't look like real crab, shrimp, bacon, etc. If it would... Let's just take a few more questions, Chava, and then we'll move forward. Then. Yeah, so marshmallows, again, one could argue, by the way, according to Chacham Ovadia, that once everybody knows that there is fake pepperoni and fake whatever out on the market, that it's okay. That certainly is a legitimate thing. It just rubs me the wrong way, having all these things that, like Pesach bread, that's meant to look like bread. I don't know, I find it obnoxious. So maybe I'm being clouded by that. One could argue, if it's really marshmallows, everybody knows that there are kosher marshmallows out on the market. Certainly when I give out marshmallows, I give them in the marshmallow bag, right? So that you can see that, that they're labeled as kosher. That should work. But everyone knows that they're kosher marshmallows. I think certainly Chacham Ovadia Svar would help over there. Ayala, and then... Does it look like cheese once it's mixed in?
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't
quite melt like cheese.
Uh-huh. But
it has a peak face.
Yeah, but it's still but you still actually get the taste of it. I mean, I've only tried the cheddar version, but it tastes like cheddar. It tastes like the real thing, and you're
Again, so if you're mixing that with chicken, right, at home, so that again you're cooking it together, like it melts.
Right.
So if you're mixing it with chicken at home, so then it's okay, according to Nachlas Tzvi.
What about mixing with actual meat?
Yeah. It really looks like...
It doesn't melt like cheese.
Well,
If it looks different, if it doesn't look like cheese, so that, again, the best heter I have for all these things, it doesn't look real. That, and
what if it doesn't necessarily look real, but it tastes real?
There's no Maris Ayin on taste, because you can't, right. You can't tell what, right. Okay, I thank you very much for coming, and we'll continue next week, I think, with a conversation about waiting after.
I don't know.